Today is Sunday, within the octave of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Peter. Beloved, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren all over the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, after we have suffered a little while, perfect, strengthen, and establish us. To him is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We stand up to hear the most holy gospel. It's taken from St. Luke. At that time, the publicans and sinners were drawing near to him to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man, if you having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And on coming home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 just who had no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 drachmas, if she loses 1 drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma I have lost.' Even so, I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." At the words of the most holy gospel, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, dear friends, this is the gospel of the mercy of God. And precisely on the octave of the most sacred heart of Jesus, reminding us that by the works of faith, hope, and charity is how we live in Christ in his most sacred heart. It's the theme of the epistle of today. But also we have to remember that Cardinal P, the very powerful teacher of St. Pius X, he said the following, which will be the principle to start the sermon. He said the following: Catholics are intolerant in questions of faith because they believe. And Catholics are tolerant in questions of charity because they love. And he said, the enemies, or those who have not the faith, they do the opposite. He said, they are tolerant in questions of faith because they don't believe. And they are intolerant in questions of charity because they don't love. So this is why, dear friends, in this battle for the kingdom of God against the devil and against the enemies of God, we are obliged to have, yes, this intolerant firmness in faith, because our divine faith is precisely what united us with our Lord. And this is the condition to please him and to enter into his most sacred heart. But at the same time, as we are intolerant in questions of faith, we must be tolerant in questions of charity. Because we dwell in his most sacred heart, And it's love, precisely what we have to spread around us, which is the theme of the sermon of today. Just to tell you this principle, because many traditionalists, they lack the second part of our Lord's will, which is to be merciful, tolerant in questions of charity towards anyone, any moment, with all our hearts, with all our resources. So we must treat the sheep of God with the love of God. I told you yesterday. So we must exercise that charity with the charity of God, following his example, which is the sermon of today. So we see the mercy of God overflowing. Yes, he must sacrifice Jesus, his love upon us. First, we see his mercy bringing publicans and sinners to hear him. By the action of the Holy Ghost, of course. So they saw his goodness, his humility, his meekness, and they approached to hear him. Also, he's waiting for us if we are repentant and have humility and confidence. So our Lord is the doctor of our souls. So let us listen to him like this Jewish who approached him. It's why doctrine and faith come from hearing. First doctrine and after hope and charity come to our souls. So let's listen to him attentively, firmly, faithfully, and we shall be consoled, healed, and saved. It's the beginning of salvation, faith, hearing him. Our Lord is our doctor, our master. But in the other contrast, we see at the same time, in the same event, the Pharisees and the scribes were murmuring against our Lord. Look at the contrast. The sinners and publicans, they were approaching our Lord because they saw his goodness, his meekness. But the Pharisees, when they see our Lord receiving sinners, they start murmuring, saying, he receives and he eats with sinners. So we see a great different conduct. Because our Lord said, I did not come to call the just by the sinners. So how many, especially among traditionalists, with hard hearts, bitter zeal, will reprove the mercy and reject sinners very easily? It's a call of attention to us. Sinners are being sought by God. He's looking for them. He's searching for them. He's giving opportunities, graces. He will die for them on the cross. He wants them to be saved. Whereas we are rejecting them very easily, reproving the sinners, and blocking mercy and the action of God upon them. So let's remember, we must hate sin, yes, but we must be full of compassion towards sinners, like our Lord, and to try to convert them with goodness and meekness. So our Lord answered to the Pharisees with three parables. Today we see in the Gospel of today only two parables, but the third one is the parable of the prodigal son, which is also the parable of mercy. So all the tenderness of his most sacred heart towards sinners is discovered in these parables. We're going to analyze. He wants to inspire confidence in sinners who are in great despair. He wants to teach us to use the same charity and mercy towards sinners. First, we see the parable of the lost sheep. We see in this parable divine mercy running after sinners, forgetting the price. Our Lord has to die on the cross. He offered everything that he has. He didn't spare any suffering, struggle in order to go after sinners and to bring them back to the sheepfold. Until he found them and bring them back upon his shoulders, so that even they be not tired in walking back. This is why he's carrying on his shoulders. He wants to spare them the tiredness of going back. Because we are repentant, God forgive not only our sins, but even the debt we have for our sins. We have perfect repentance. So he forgive by his passion and blood, even the damage we had done, even the penance we had to do when we are perfect contrition. So our Lord places us all in that picture today, in this parable. And his intention was to call upon the depths of our hearts to bring them back to him. Why each one of us is painted in that parable. So how much active diligence we see here of our Lord, looking for his lost sheep, patience, charity towards them, towards us. So for our salvation, he came down from heaven, suffered his passion and death. And what a joy when he recovers us. The saints in heaven even rejoice, he says in both parables. They rejoice, overflowing joy, when they see a sinner coming back home. See why also is the prodigal son. The prodigal son is part of the three parables. It's the last of the parables. When the father is so joyful by seeing his son going back, that he forgets all that he has done. He restores to him the ring, the dressing as his child, and he calls for a feast. He kills the best of the calf that he has at home. He wants to rejoice everybody. So all the saints in heaven rejoice when we do penance, when we go back to God. Also the parable of the drachma. Lost. This drachma of the women who is looking for the lost drachma, this coin. This is our soul, this lost coin, which is marked with the image of God. Therefore, belongs to God, this coin, our drachma, our soul. So when we commit sin, that divine image is erased or damaged, lost. In the midst of mud, dust. So it has to be restored, that coin, back to God, that soul. That woman of this parable can be said that is the Blessed Virgin Mary, looking for us as a mother, as a good mother, trying to clean us up, to restore us the image of God in us. Through her Immaculate Conception, the graces that she has available, received from God to distribute upon us, her children. So the three parables show the same concern. Our Lord wants to repeat, so to insist, and increase our confidence and greater zeal. Yes. So he wants us to go back to God, to our Lord. That confidence that he is looking for us, and he will forgive us, and he will bring us in his shoulders back to his fold. So he repeats the same theme of mercy in the three parables. So beautiful. Just to steal very deep in our hearts how much he loves us, how much he's waiting for us. What a spectacle. Heaven and earth in feast rejoicing because that sinner is going back home. So something really beautiful. Something we don't see among human beings. So in the human ways of behavior, when somebody repents, we never do that, unfortunately. We say, okay, finally he is doing his job, or finally he's repenting, or finally he's doing something good. But we remark more the evil things. No, he has been that and doing these things. He's a criminal. Finally, he did something good. We will do that in human society. So far, far away from the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how much we must be grateful and love him for doing the song. Because he has waited for us for many years. He has overlooked many faults and sins and ungratefulness. He's still giving us many graces and opportunities. So we should be very grateful and love him evermore. Our Lord frequently in his life was among them, or among sinners, treating them with goodness, kindness. For example, comes to our mind those events of the Samaritan women looking for water. And he was very patient with her, explaining the gospel, explaining that he was the water overflowing until life everlasting, that she should be looking for the true water with our Lord. Also the adulterous women, that event, when everybody wants to condemn, to stone that woman to death, and our Lord rescues her, forgives her, and gives her peace and grace again, and lets her go, asking her not to sin anymore. Also, we see the example of Mary Magdalene. She has seven devils. She was a public sinner. And our Lord, so compassionate, merciful, bringing her back. Not only that, but our Lord will dwell. When he went to Jerusalem, he will sleep over in the house of Martha and Mary Magdalene and Lazarus as their chosen ones, as a family. Also, we see, for example, the parable, it was a real event of Zacchaeus, the short man who wanted to see our Lord, and he was not able to see him because very short size, so he had to climb a tree to see our Lord, and everybody saying to him, "You are a sinner. You are a robber. You are an unjust man. What you want to do with our Lord? No, basically, why are you here? You had nothing to do with our Lord." And our Lord stopping, hearing those things, those complaints against him, and looking at the heart of Zacchaeus, and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, come here, because I will be today eating at your house. I will visit you today." So everybody was struck. Wow, he's a sinner, he's a publican, he's a robber. So Zacchaeus, when he said, he converted that moment, from that such a kindness of our Lord, converted Zacchaeus, and he said, "Lord, from now on, I will repair all the damage done. I will pay back four times more to all those who have debts towards." Also, we see our Lord, for example, in crying over Jerusalem with a great tenderness of heart, saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will know how much I have done for you. I have tried to gather your children as a hen gathers the chicks around herself, and you have not received me." So that tenderness of our Lord. So reminding us that he said, "Do not have need from doctor, the healthy ones, but the sick ones." Our Lord keeps calling us by grace, by his word, But repentance, calling of repentance, remorse in our hearts, by our crosses, sickness, sending us sermons, priests, having been at the Blessed Sacrament waiting for us. He keep calling us, any one of us. So we should not spare sacrifices to go back to our Lord and to bring sheep to along with us back to our Lord. Let's contemplate these parables. Our Lord seeks his sheep with constancy. Constancy. They don't give up. Without this courage, while we resist him and are ungrateful, he still keeps looking for us. He's not discouraged until he finds us. And after he has found us, he treats us with tenderness, with delicacy, without anger, without punishment. He has just compassion, helping us, carrying our crosses, carrying ourselves upon his shoulders with joy. This is our Lord. Not only that, but he gives us back peace in our hearts, strengthen us with our graces, facilitates contrition and the availability of sacraments and the opportunity of doing penance. He's waiting for us to do those things. And the Book of Wisdom says the following. He says, Lord, you have mercy upon us because you can do all things. You do not look at our sins, but rather you care that we do penance. You are looking for penance from us. You are indulgent towards us because we are yours, O Lord, lover of our souls. This is a beautiful point. We belong to our Lord. This is why he's looking for us. We are lost. Anyone who lost something which is ours, we try to recover it. And we don't feel the same. So we don't treat our neighbor as ours. We treat them as neighbors, as someone foreign to us, as someone outside the family. This is the reason why we don't treat people well. But we are wrong. So they are the family, we are the communion of saints, all family in God, in Christ, in his love. We should be even dying for our neighbor to bring them back to Christ. But just to finish, let's just remember how men will act, how men without faith towards the sinner, towards a criminal. We see that around us. Men try to have vengeance, try to chastise, to destroy a sinner, a criminal. They want to stone him, to disappear him, to stab him to death. We don't want to see them anymore on earth. But God does not want the death of sinners, but their conversion and that they may live. This is the theme of Lent that we hear again and again in the liturgy. God wants our conversion. He's waiting for us. God even forgets our sins. He promised, "You come back to me. I promise I will not remember all that you have done against me." This is so beautiful. And we don't do that towards our neighbor. It's a reminder. Because if we have the Catholic faith, we are defending the Catholic faith, we must defend the love of God, to represent the love of God on earth, traditionalists. We are not doing that. We are far from doing that. So it's a reminder for us, because if we don't live by the love of God, yes, means that we are living in a human love, with a human love, and we might not be safe. We might be the Pharisees murmuring because we attend sinners, because we help sinners, because we want sinners to be with our Lord. Yes. So this is a reminder to us, the faithful, to practice real charity in this week, in this month of the Most Holy Heart of Jesus. Let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to teach us how to do it and how to do it well, with a great generosity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.